today. So last week we got to look at the day of Pentecost itself. It's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has just descended upon the apostles. Peter is filled with the Spirit and he stands up and he delivers the first and powerful sermon. And the result, there are about 3,000 people who are baptized and they're added into this new community of believers. And what happens next is the beginning of the church. It's this newly formed group of believers. They begin to live in a way that is radically different from anything that the world had seen before. And so in Acts 2:42-47, we see a description of their community life. And it is a profound example of what it means for us to be the church. We're told that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They had all things in common, selling their possessions and distributing the proceeds to those in need. They gathered daily in the temple and in their homes, sharing meal with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So this passage, it's not just a historical account, it is a blueprint for us as the church. It challenges us to consider what it means to live in true Christian community. Today we'll explore three main aspects of this passage. First, the devotion of the early believers. Second, their radical generosity. And then third, the impact on the greater external community. So as we unpack these verses, let's open our hearts to what God might be calling us to as a church and to individuals. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that guides us and inspires us. And as we look into the lives of the early church, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to understand and apply these truths in our lives today. Help us to be a community that reflects your love, your generosity, and your grace. And then it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to begin by looking at the devotion of the early believers. So as we begin to explore the life of the early church, we start specifically with verse 42, which says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now this verse succinctly captures the essence of the early believers' internal life. It shows four key practices that were central to their community: devotion to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And each of these elements played a crucial role in shaping their communal and spiritual life. So the first aspect that we see is their devotion to the apostles' teaching. Now this indicates to us a deep commitment to learning and understanding the teachings of Jesus as relayed by the apostles. The early believers, they recognized the importance of grounding their faith in sound doctrine and understanding the truth about who Jesus was. In our context today, this challenges us to prioritize the study of God's word. It calls us to be diligent in our personal study of Scripture, to engage in corporate teaching through things like sermons and Bible studies, and to continually seek to grow in understanding. Just as the church found strength and guidance in the apostles' teaching, we too must anchor our lives in the timeless truths of God's word. The second aspect we see is that they devoted themselves to fellowship. The Greek word here is koinonia, which implies a deep sense of community and sharing. It wasn't just casual socializing. This wasn't a friend group that was gathering together informally. It was a profound connection that involved sharing life, sharing resources, and sharing support. So fellowship in the early church, it meant being involved in each other's lives in deeply meaningful ways. It meant rejoicing with those who were rejoicing and weeping with those who were weeping. It meant carrying each other's burdens and encouraging one another in faith. For us today, True fellowship, it goes beyond Sunday morning meetings. It means being intentional about building relationships within our community. It means being willing to invest our time and our energy and our resources into the lives of the brothers and sisters around us. It's about creating an environment where people feel loved, where they feel seen, where they feel supported and connected. Third, the breaking of bread. This refers to the practice of sharing meals together. Now, this included the Lord's Supper, but it was also more than that. It was a vital part of their communal life. It symbolized their unity in Christ, and it reminded them of his sacrificial love. Now, sharing meals is a powerful way to build community. In the context of the Lord's Supper, it is a profound act of worship and remembrance. When we come together to break bread, we are reminded of Jesus' body, which is broken for us, and his blood, which is shed for our sins. It's a time to reflect on his love, his grace, and the new covenant which we receive in him. In our modern context, we can embrace the practice of breaking bread by regularly sharing meals with this community, both in formal settings, such as in communion, but also in informal gatherings. These moments, they foster intimacy, they foster gratitude, and they help to build a sense of belonging. And lastly, the early church devoted themselves to prayer. Now, just 2 weeks ago, we talked about the disciples as they were awaiting the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And what do? They prioritize prayer. The idea that prayer precedes the movement of the Holy Spirit. And here, once again, this early community has devoted themselves to prayer because prayer is the lifeblood of the community of faith. It connected them to God, and it connected them to each other. And it was through prayer that they sought guidance, strength, and unity. Prayer is essential for any thriving community of faith. It is through prayer that we communicate with God, that we seek his will, and that we intercede on behalf of others. The early believers, they understood that they were dependent on God's power and God's presence in prayer. And so they made prayer a central part of their lives. Today we are called to be a praying church. We must cultivate both personal as well as corporate prayer habits. And this means setting a time apart for individual prayer and being intentional about praying for one another's needs. When we commit to prayer, we invite God's presence and his power into our midst, and we align our hearts with his purposes. So the internal life of the church, as described in Acts 2:42, serves as a powerful model for us. Their devotion to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, it created a strong, vibrant community that was grounded in Christ. And as we reflect on these practices, let us consider how we can integrate them into our own lives and church community. By doing so, we can experience the same depth of connection, of growth, and spiritual vitality that characterized the early believers. Now, as we move from the internal life of the early church, we're now going to move into the way that they impacted their larger community, how their vibrant community life overflowed to those outside of their fellowship. So Acts 2:43 through 47, it provides a picture for us of how the early believers' actions and lifestyles served as a powerful witness to the world around them. Their witness was marked by awe-inspiring signs, radical generosity, joyful worship, and the favor which they found with all people. So first, awe-inspiring signs and wonders. Acts 2:43 tells us everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The early church's witness was characterized by the extraordinary works of the Holy Spirit moving through the apostles. These miracles were not just for the believers, but also they served as a testimony to God's power for those outside of the church. They authenticated the message of the gospel, and they drew people's attention to the transformative power of Jesus Christ. And this is important. The miracles were not for the sake of the miracles. The miracles existed for the sake of testifying to the message that the apostles were teaching. Now, today, we may not see the same frequency of miraculous signs, but the principle remains that our lives should demonstrate the power of God. Now, whether through answered prayer, through acts of faith, through stories of transformation, we can witness to the reality of God's presence and power in our lives. Second, radical generosity and sharing. Acts 2, 44 and 45 describes the believers' radical generosity in this way. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, this level of sharing and sacrificial giving was unprecedented, and it set Christians apart. Their willingness to support one another, even at great personal cost, it showed the depth of their love and their commitment. And this kind of generosity serves as a powerful witness today. When we open our hearts and our hands to those in need, when we open our homes to those in need, we reflect the heart of God. Our generosity can break down barriers, it can build bridges, and it can provide tangible evidence of God's love and care to people who don't think that they are lovable. It is through these acts of kindness and support that people can see the gospel in action. Third, joyful worship and community life. Acts 2, 46 to 47 paints a picture of a joyful and vibrant community. Luke writes, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The early Christians' joy and sincerity in worship, it was contagious. Their communal life, which was marked by regular gatherings and shared meals, it created a sense of belonging and purpose that was attractive to others. In our churches today, the joy of our worship and the authenticity of our community life can be a powerful witness. When we gather with glad and sincere hearts, our joy can overflow to those who are searching for meaning and connection. By opening our homes and our lives to others, we invite them to experience the warmth and love of Christ. Acts 2:47 concludes with an important observation. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early Christians enjoyed favor with all the people. That includes the people who disagreed with them. It was not just within their own community, but also those who were outside. Their way of life, marked by love, by generosity, and by joy, it made a positive impression on their neighbors. People were drawn to them, curious about the source of this distinctive lifestyle, and it meant that they were open to hearing the message of the gospel. This reminds us as a church that we must conduct ourselves in a way that is attractive, because the way that we act, it can either attract or repel people. When we live out faith authentically and lovingly, we create a compelling witness that can draw others to Christ. It's not just about what we say, but it's actually about how we live that speaks volumes to those who are around us. So the early church's witness to the outside world is described in Acts 2, 43 to 47. It's multifaceted, right? There's a lot of different aspects to it, but it was deeply impactful. They lived out the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that reflected God's presence. They gave radically. They participated in joyful worship, and they had a favorable reputation that contributed to a powerful testimony of God's presence and love. And as a result, they saw continual growth with new people coming to faith daily. In reflecting on the church's external witness, we are challenged to consider how we can embody these same qualities in our own lives and community. May our lives be marked by God's power, our generosity by selfless love, our worship by genuine joy, and our community by a welcoming spirit. And in doing so, we can effectively share the hope and the love of Christ with a world that desperately is in need of it. Next, we're going to move on to the implications for what it means for us today. So as we reflect on the internal life and the external witness of the early church, we must consider how these principles apply for us today. The church's commitment to teaching, fellowship, prayer, generosity, and community life provides a blueprint for us to follow. And by embracing these values, we can experience a vibrant, transformative church life and offer a compelling witness to the world. So let's dive into some of the key implications for what it means for us today. First, prioritizing teaching and spiritual growth. The early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. For us today, this means prioritizing the study of God's word and spiritual growth. Regular Bible study, attending things like a worship service, participating in small groups and personal devotions. These are things that are essential practices. There are things that help us to grow and learn God's character. They help us to understand who he is. And we must be intentional about learning and applying these to our lives. In a world that is often filled with distractions, we need to create space for intentional time with God. And by prioritizing teaching and spiritual growth, we equip ourselves to live out our faith in a way that is authentic and effective, but also intentional. Second, fostering genuine fellowship. Like we talked about, fellowship, it was a cornerstone of the early church. It was characterized by deep relationships and mutual support. And for us, that means building authentic, supportive communities where we can share life together. It's more than just social gatherings. It requires vulnerability. It requires accountability. And it requires a commitment to one another's well-being. In our fast-paced, often individualistic society, genuine fellowship can often be countercultural, but it is through these deep connections that we experience the fullness of community and provide a compelling witness to those around us. Third, committing to prayer. Prayer was a central aspect to the church's life, both individually and collectively, and for us today, this means making prayer a priority. Personal prayer strengthens our relationship with God, while corporate prayer unites us as a community and it aligns us with God's purpose. We must cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, seeking God's guidance, his strength, and his wisdom in all of the areas of our life. And by doing so, we tap into the Holy Spirit and we invite God's transformative work in our lives and communities. Fourth, practicing radical generosity. The early church's radical generosity, where they sold possessions to meet others' needs, it challenges us to rethink our approach to resources. For us today, it means being willing to share our time, our talents, and our treasures with others, but it also means being willing to share our space. And not just for others, but for those who are in need. Generosity, it is a powerful testimony of God's love, but also of his provision. Do we believe that God provides for us? When we participate in generosity, it breaks down barriers, it builds trust, and it opens doors for the gospel. And so we must look for opportunities to give sacrificially, reflecting the heart of Christ in our actions. The early believers, they participated in joyful worship, and their communal life was attractive to others. And for us, this means creating environments where joy and sincerity in worship are evident. It involves engaging in regular, meaningful gatherings where we encourage one another and where we celebrate God's goodness. Joyful worship is infectious. And when our gatherings are marked by genuine joy and heartfelt worship, they become a place where we can encounter God's presence and his love. Our community life should reflect this joy and hope that we have in Christ, drawing others to him. And finally, we're invited to live as witnesses to the world. The early church's lifestyle, it earned them favor with all people, and it led to the growth of the church. For us today, this means living in a way that reflects Christ to those around us. Our actions, our attitudes, our relationships, they should demonstrate the love and the grace and the truth of the gospel. Being a witness, it's not just about evangelism. For those of you guys who have heard me preach over the past many weeks, you know that like I love the message of the gospel, and I have a really hard time getting to the end of the service without providing a gospel message. But this is, it's more than just evangelism. It is about embodying the message of Christ in our everyday lives. When we live with integrity and kindness and compassion, when we are good neighbors, we provide a powerful testimony to the reality of God's transforming work. The early church's life and witness, it offers a profound lesson for us today. By prioritizing teaching, by fostering fellowship, by committing to prayer, by practicing generosity, by engaging in joyful worship and living as witnesses, we can experience a vibrant and impactful Christian life. Now, as we apply these principles, we become a church that not only grows internally, but it also reaches out effectively to the world. So may we strive to embody these values, trusting that God will use our lives and our communities to draw others to himself and to expand his kingdom. As we draw our sermon to a close, let's revisit the different aspects that we've talked about. Their commitment to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. We've seen how their faith in community life had a powerful witness to the outside world, attracting others and adding to their numbers daily. The early church was deeply devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. It fostered a rich spiritual community that nurtured each believer's faith and growth. Their unity, generosity, and joyful worship, it created a compelling witness that drew people to Christ. The church's genuine love and care for one another was a powerful testimony to the transforming power of the gospel. We've considered how these principles apply to us. We're called to prioritize teaching and spiritual growth, fellowship, prayer, generosity, joy in worship, and living as witnesses in the world. We're invited to prioritize teaching and spiritual growth in our own life. We're invited to foster genuine fellowship, to commit to prayer, practice radical generosity, engage in joyful witness, and living as witnesses. I want to invite you to reflect Christ in your everyday interactions, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be truthful, to show the love of God through your actions and your words. And now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of the early church. We are inspired by their devotion, their love for one another, and their powerful witness to the world. Help us, Lord, to embody these same principles in our lives and communities. Grant us the wisdom to prioritize your word, the courage to build genuine fellowship, the discipline to commit to prayer, and the generosity to share our resources. Fill our hearts with joy as we worship you. And use us as instruments of your grace to those around us. May our lives be a testament to your love and power, drawing others to you, and it is the name of your Son, Jesus, that Amen.
Amen. The word